Say this with me. Devil,
devil,
I refuse to go quietly into the night.
No
matter what you say,
no matter what you do,
I win.
Jesus is Lord over Tulsa.
Tulsa is in revival.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Telling you, Goliath has come out. And he's come with intimidation and fear and circumstance and everything in the world. Just like he did against Israel in the Old Testament. And he doesn't really expect a challenger. And, you know, he looks around the group here, and I don't see the mayor of the city. I don't see any congressmen. I don't see any senators here. Don't really see any of the those that seem to be somewhat among them in the religious camps. You know what I mean, the religious circles. And he's thinking, who is this little David here? Who is this ragtag bunch of... Well, look at them. Look at the cars in the parking lot. He says, don't you know I have destroyed nations? Who do you think you are? I love it when the professor gets anointed. Hallelujah. You know? This lady's a professor, teaches at a university. And he expects through fear and intimidation and what we see, the circumstances, for us eventually to back down, slink away, and walk off quietly into the night. No way. That's right. No way. We are the victors here. With that thinking in mind, now open up to Luke chapter 10. We started here the other night, and I'm going to do a quick review. I know people hear me say that on the tapes, and they go, yeah, right, sure. I do the best that I can, you know. I try and move on as quick as I can, but anyhow. In this event, what we're about to look at is when Jesus commissioned the 70 and sent them out two by two. And he sent them into the cities where he himself was going to come later, and he was preparing them. Now, the thing that's important here, there's a lot of things important here, but this event happens after Jesus has been baptized by John in the River Jordan. And that event is so important. I'll never forget the day that the Holy Spirit unveiled that mystery to me in the trucks. I mean, that was before I even left the trucks. And I had never heard it explained the way that he revealed it to me. I never understood what it was all about. Even John didn't understand it. John the Baptist. Here Jesus comes. And John's been baptizing all these people. He's been John was one of those hellfire and brimstone preachers, man. I mean, you know, when he got through preaching, you could smell the sulfur. Man, you ready to repent? And he says, come, let me baptize you. Be washed of your sins. But the whole idea was repent. Well, now the thing was, but when Jesus comes, I mean, he's never sinned even once, you know. And John for sure knows he doesn't need to be baptized to have his sins washed away. That's for sure. And even John goes, Lord, I need to be baptized by you, not you by me. And all Jesus really tells him is, well, it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. Well, that explains everything. There it is. I mean, you know, all the questions are answered. And I had no idea I was praying that mystery out in the trucks. I was just praying, just doing the message, just praying in other tongues. I had no idea. And all of a sudden, that mystery began to unfold in me. I prayed it out, and my spirit understood it, and it began revealing it to my soul. And that's, again, this is really what happened that day. This was the death of the first man, Adam, and the coronation of the last man, Adam. Even though Jesus would not go to the cross for a couple of more years, that day when John laid him down in the water like laying somebody down in a grave, Jesus wasn't being baptized to have his sins washed away. He was making a visual vow before the Father. He was going, Father, this is a type of my death. I know why I came. When John lays me down, I'm vowing before you, Father, I'm going all the way to death. I know why I came. I came to die in the place of the first man, Adam. Well, God looks on the heart. He's able to see, and he looked on Jesus' heart and said, he's really going to do it. He's really going to do this. So in heaven, God accounted that act, even though he wouldn't physically die for a couple more years on the cross, God counted that baptism as an already accomplished fact. When Jesus was laid down in the water, it's like a gavel came down in heaven. Adam, the first Adam, is dead. Well, if the first Adam is dead, then that original dominion that God gave to Adam, God was now free. See, God will not alter the thing that's gone out of his lips. And as long as Adam was alive, legally alive, God could not reassign that dominion to anybody else. He gave it to Adam. That's why God never could take it away from the devil once the devil got it from Adam, because Adam's species was still alive. But in Christ, we all of Adam's species, everyone, past, present, and future, the whole species of Adam died in Christ legally that day. Now God's free to reassign that dominion. Well, the next thing that happens is John raises Jesus's body up out of the water. What's that a type of? Well, that's Jesus's faith that he's trusting God. Like was written in the Psalms, thou will not leave my soul in hell. Neither will my flesh see corruption. Father, I'm trusting you. Remember when he said on the cross, into thy hands I commit my spirit? I'm trusting you. You're not going to leave me there. You're going to raise me to new life again. So now the Father says, aha, the old Adam is dead. Legally, my son has been raised from the dead. He's going to spawn a new species. I crown this one. That's why it says, this is my beloved son. He might as well have said, this is now Adam. Let him have dominion. And that's why you see the Holy Spirit coming on him. From that day forward now, Acts 10:38 tells you what happened. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. From that day forward, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of who? The devil. See, the devil had almost free sway. Even though Israel had a covenant with God for healing, very few people believed it. Very few people. They almost threw Jesus off the brow of the hill when he said, you know, there were a lot of lepers in Israel. Not one of them got healed. Only Naaman. Was it Naaman, the Syrian? Made them so mad. In other words, he was really saying, not one of you had any faith. Here comes a guy that doesn't even have a covenant with God, and he got healed because he believed the word of the prophet. But it made him so mad. Why do you think it made him so mad? He's saying, you don't have any faith, and they're going, we're going to kill you. Anyway, that's another whole lesson. Why is that so important? Because from that day forward, I mean on planet Earth, Jesus had absolute authority. Absolute. The devil had no authority at all. We talked on that the other night, how we've been delivered. If you're born of the light, you have been delivered from the authority of darkness. How he really got that through to me is if we're light, so let's say we live in a light room and the devil wants to come in, well, he is darkness. He can look all he wants. He's never going to find a dark switch. There's no switch. There's no switch you can flip where the darkness can take over the light. Darkness has no authority over light, period. Light always eliminates darkness, not the other way around. Always. We can understand that. But you go, well, it sure seems like he's got authority in my house. Have you seen all the, can I say, hell that's going on? Can you see all this stuff? My car, my kids, my wife, my job. No. Well, that's why we're studying this right now. Well, we see a demonstration here. Now, here is the last Adam. He's been given all authority. He's been baptized with the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? Anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. When Jesus speaks, he speaks as the agent of the Father's authority. He's the one that's been assigned Lord over the planet. But the Holy Spirit is the Father's agent of power. The way he said it to me, when Jesus would speak, the Holy Spirit would do. You notice when he said, if I cast out these devils by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom has come nigh you. In another place about the same incident, he said, if I cast out devils by the finger of God, meaning the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is like the hand of the Father outstretched. Jesus would speak, the Holy Spirit would do. Well, now Jesus is conferring dominion onto these 70 men, and it's a preview of what the church is supposed to be like. Now, these men were not even born again. It's not possible for them to be regenerated in their spirit until after the cross. Yet we're seeing a demonstration of the absolute, let's say it this way. How do I say that, Father? The Holy Spirit will do what Jesus says. And if Jesus says these unsaved men have authority over disease, what they say, Holy Spirit, you do. The Holy Spirit doesn't argue with the Lord. He doesn't protest. He doesn't become religious. If the Lord says this is the way it is, the Holy Spirit says that's the way it is. See, and that's really what Jesus was telling them in John 14:15-16 when he was introducing the Holy Spirit. And he said, now, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to take of mine. He's going to show it unto you. But one thing about him, he's not going to speak on his own, meaning he's not coming to be your Lord. He's not coming to speak on his own authority. See, the authority belongs to one, and that's the Lord Jesus. No, it says what he hears, that's what he's going to speak. The Holy Spirit understands. I mean, they're all three equal. You know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. I like how Dave says it. If somehow we could see them standing chest to chest and eye to eye, if we could see that, there'd be no difference in them. They're of equal stature. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Yet in creation, they have taken these respective roles. God the Father plans everything. Jesus is the Word. He basically speaks everything. But the Holy Spirit, he's the molecule changer. And he's the one that performs everything. Well, it's not like a hierarchy, God the Father, and then below him is God the Son, and below him is the Holy Spirit. These are just the roles that they have chosen to take. And it's really to help us understand the Godhead. This is how, apparently, it's the best way for an infinite God to try and reveal himself to finite people. Someday we will see him as he is, and we will be like him, my Bible says. I'm looking forward to that. Well, so here we got these 70 unregenerated men, and this just amazes me. Now, I went through this in great detail last time, this first part, so I'm not going to go through that at length again. Let's just get to the meat. I want to get to this verse right here. Get to verse 9. Now, he's given them all these instructions, and I'll just tell you quickly again. Don't make formulas out of a lot of this. When he says don't take, on this trip, don't take sandals with you, don't take money with you. Because at other times he'd send them out and he'd say, now take money with you, take an extra pair of sandals. You can't make formulas out of that. The only formula you can make is whatever he says to you, do it. Okay? But what he does say to them here, now, here's our verse. Look at verse 9. Here's one of the instructions. And I just want you to notice how just matter-of-factly he says this. When you go into the city, heal the sick that are therein. Let's just stop for a moment. Mark, come here. Now, since I'm doing the teaching, I get to be Jesus. Come here, you, one of you 70 unregenerate men. I have to stand on this step so I have authority over him. See this? Now, he's one of the 70. He's not born again. I mean, this guy, I don't know what he thinks about himself, but Jesus is looking at him and he knows that he doesn't have light on the inside of him. Yet Jesus has light on the inside of himself. But he's looking at, he's one of the 70. And he just comes to him and he says, I want you to go into Sepulpa. I need two of you. Come here. Another one. There's two of you. I'm sending all of you into these different cities. You two, go to Sepulpa. And when you get there, heal every sick person that's therein. Just heal them. And tell them the kingdom has come. Okay? All right, go. And that's it. Where's my training? Where's my transformation? Where's my, what seminary am I to enroll in first? I want you to see the absolute, you know why they could go do it? Because he said they could go do it. And the Holy Spirit was there going, I don't care if they are born again. I don't care if they're not born again. Jesus said to heal the sick. What they say, I'm going to do. And notice that's all he really told them. Just go heal the sick that's therein. Preach about the kingdom. And if they don't receive it, after seeing the works. Now see, what we've done is go try and preach the kingdom without healing the sick. And we tried to shake the dust off. You know, he says, no, let them see it. Let them see the power of God. Heal, just go in there and heal the sick. When I meditate this, it's just so matter of fact to him. Oh, and just heal the sick. And we're going. See, I've had him give me instructions a lot of times. Most of them know, as I'm meditating now, most of the things that I've done that he's trusted me to do have been natural things. Things for Gary to do. Things that are in my power to do. Okay, example, give the tapes away free. I can do that. I want you to digitize all the messages. Convert them from analog to digital. Make them MP3. See, that's stuff I can do. Some of it was harder than others. I want you to forgive these two people that hurt you really bad. That wasn't easy. But see, that was still something I could do. I want you to give a certain amount of money. Sometimes it was a lot of money. Sometimes it was a little bit. Sometimes it was a little bit that was a lot to me at the time. It was, that first $10 was harder to give than $5,000 another time. I'm telling you right now. You think? Okay. But as I look back on my life, most of the time it was things to, when I obey the Lord, he talks to me about things that I can do myself. But see, in myself, I know I myself don't have power to heal the sick. Jesus said he in himself didn't have power to heal the sick. The Son of himself can do nothing. What I see my Father do. So again, he knew he was co-laboring with the Holy Ghost. He didn't heal anybody till he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. So again, here we have this thing. But now I think how matter-of-factly, so here these guys go. No transformation. But see, what they did have, they had been following Jesus. And they had seen the physical manifestations in the meetings. They knew for sure he had authority over sickness. But somehow, they just had enough faith. Well, if he said for us to go do it, I'm trying to picture, if he came to me and really said, you know, Mark, just go heal sick in Sepulpa, just go. I don't know that we'd be as obedient as those guys. I don't know that I would be. Just go heal them. Where's my seminary training? Well, I hope I get this point across to you like it's hitting me right now. To him, it's just so matter of fact, like, why is this hard for you to understand, you know, why? From his point of view, when he come down off the mountain and his disciples had been trying to heal that lunatic boy, and boy, they'd done everything that they knew to do. They'd cast devils out before, healed the sick before, and they did everything they did they could do, and they couldn't get that boy free. What I would like, you know, if it was me, I'd like for him to come over and put his arm around my shoulder and say, well, I know you tried. I know you gave it your best, Gary. I appreciate all your efforts. Is that the way you talk? You faithless. I don't want to hear that, but unless I need to hear it. You faithless and perverse. What, faithless wasn't enough. You faithless and perverse. Like, what is wrong with your mind? Don't you remember when I gave you authority over these things? I hope you understand I'm preaching to me too. We're all trying to get past here, aren't we? Okay. But to him, it's just so matter of fact, which the fact that it's not to me, there might still be some renewing of the mind that needs to be done. See, there is a whole world. Again, this comes back to the walk of the Spirit. There is a whole walk of the Spirit that we're still not very accustomed to. It doesn't seem real to us. It seems way out there. But I'll tell you one thing. These symptoms in my body, I can relate to them. And he goes, well, can you relate to my words having authority? Well, here these guys go, and sure enough, they get out there and we're not given a whole lot of details, but apparently they were successful. Heal the sick and preach the kingdom. And he didn't really mention casting out devils there, did he? Not there. And so they come back. Look at verse 17. They come back, give a report. And I mean, they're excited. The way this is worded, you can tell they were surprised. They're almost like, Lord, did you know this? It says the 70, they returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Can't you see it in there? It's like, did you know that? You didn't tell us. We healed the sick, all right, but we found out something else. Even the devils are subject to us. Now let's say that. We've been churched too much on these verses. Okay, come here, Mark. You're going to help me preach this one. Okay, now this time Mark gets to be a devil. Uh-oh. Okay. Now, I want to step down off the step so he's taller than me. He's Goliath now. Okay, here I am, little short believer. And here's Mark, the big bad devil. He's taller than me for benefit of the tape, MP3, whatever you're listening to. What I discovered was no matter how big those devils were, if I'm one of those 70, I found out that in the name, that devil was subject to me. Now, if something is subject to me, it has to obey what I say. So that devil go roar. Whoa. Come around here where they can see. Here you go. Ah! Isn't that the way he comes? Sickness, job, wife, kids, family, car, washing machine. Politics, recession. Do it again. See? Let's take specifically sickness. Do it one more time. Bernard needs a picture. Okay, you got it. All right. And normally, see, if we don't think spiritually, we're moved by that. We're moved by that. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. I need to send a prayer request quick. Where's Daisy's phone number? I had Daisy's phone number. I got to get on the prayer chain. And we're not against any of those things, but it's the mindset that we got to come against. See, what they found out was, shut up. In the name of Jesus, go sit down. See that? For benefit of the tape, he took off like a scalded dog. Because he has no choice. We found out the devils are subject to us. If words mean anything, just saying the same thing a different way, when I speak in the name, that devil has to obey what I say. If it's subject to me, it has to do what I say. I don't care what it wants either. I don't care what instructions it had. I don't care how many people it's destroyed before it got to my house. It's not going to rule in my house. Not going to rule in my body. Not going to rule in my family. Hallelujah. We're not going to walk off quietly into the night. The devil's going to slink off like a scalded dog that he is, you know. We, say it out loud. It's going to be good for you now. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Hey, let's do it like they did. Lord, did you know? That in your name?
Even the devils
are subject to me.
When I speak
in your name,
the devils
have to obey what I say. Lord, isn't that something? That's kind of the attitude that they had, just going like, did you know this? Well, I think the church needs to know it. We need to know it. And when disease or cancer or economy or whatever it is has come to rower in your life, you know, to scare you and intimidate you, we've got to start seeing and thinking like who we really are. We are spirit-born children of the Almighty God. We are the children spawned from the spiritual loins of the last man, Adam. We are a species of human over whom the devil has no dominion at all. Darkness has no authority over light. We are children of light. It's good stuff, isn't it? All right. All right, now look what Jesus says here. He says, you know, they're like, did you know this? And he said unto them, to me, he's saying it like this, look, this is not revelation to me. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I wondered for a long time why he said as lightning. How quick is lightning? Whew. Gone, buddy. Like Pastor Dave says, you know, the devil's really not dumb. You know, he's very cagey. He's very devious. He's very manipulative. But right on the other hand, he is dumb. Because anybody that thinks, any created thing that thinks it can somehow overthrow the Creator himself, that's just not real bright. And a third of the angels went with him. It's amazing. And it says there was war in heaven. Michael and the other angels fought against the dragon, Satan, and his angels. But it says plainly they were cast out of heaven. And we know that was sometime before the Garden of Eden. Because he was already on planet Earth, apparently, when the garden was there and Adam and Eve was in it. Because he's the one that came to tempt. Just say it out loud. I am commissioned to go into the cities and heal the sick that are therein. Now religion right here will go, no, no, no. That's only the 70. And Jesus gave them that instruction. He didn't give it to you. That's only the hint to them. Be turning to Mark 16. Okay? Now first off, just let's talk. Look, I am still, I always will be, from Pottawatomie County. We think PhD stands for post hole digger down there. Now, I don't care about all of the, I'm not against those kind of things. That's fine. But look, you know, you got to make some sense, us old boys. Are you telling me that unsaved people before the cross had more authority than God's own spirit born children that's been baptized in the Holy Ghost? Are you telling me that? If that's the case, Jesus had been better off not to go to the cross and left us all lost so he could just put his anointing on us. See, that's just, you can take your PhD and go dig post holes with it, as far as I'm concerned, if you're going to tell me stuff like that. Now, you know, in Mark 16, the denomination I grew up in, I mean, I've seen this actually in stone over the doorways. The first part of Mark 16, not the last part, but boy, the first part. I don't know why in the world I think the first part of this is anointed, not the last part. But you could chisel this over the door of practically every church I ever attended growing up all my life. Mark 16, starting in verse 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. I mean, they just stop right there. And they give their whole lives to it. And God bless them for it. missionaries that'll take off with, this is it. Don't have the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Don't have the gifts of the Spirit operating in their life. Go off and do their best in the natural to give their lives for God. And you know He accepts their service. And whole tribes have been saved in Africa and South America and other places like that. Many of these guys got martyred. I'm not trying to make light of it. It's better than nothing. But why in the world would you accept those two verses and throw out the next two verses like they don't mean anything? See, in my way of thinking, verse 17 starts off with the word and. You know, when people use the word and, that normally means they're not done talking yet. You got to stay around for what's behind the and. If I come to Rich and Deborah here and I say, I'm just going to give you guys my car. And it's only going to cost you $300 a month. See, now you gotta stay around for what's behind the and, you know. I'm not done talking yet. You can't run off before the and. Well, that's what they've done. That's what the whole church has done. I mean, we're supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believes is baptized is be saved. And he that believes not will be damned. We understand that part. But and only my chosen vessels, the few that I choose and nobody else. Oh, these signs shall follow them that what? Now, Dave's sitting right on the front row. You got to get this right. Laws of meditation. Do you think that statement maybe could be, there's a possibility that statement could be based on what he's already said? You think there might be a continuity of thought? He's saying, go and teach, go and preach this gospel. He that believes will be saved. And over in verse 17, those that believe, could it be the same ones that believe the preaching of the gospel? Could it be any believer? Those that believe the gospel that was preached in my name, if they'll believe it, they can cast out devils. Why? Because they're going to be children of light. If they believe the gospel, they're going to become born again. Their spirit is going to go from dark to light. Then he said, now don't go out preaching for me. You tarry, you wait till you've been baptized, till you have received power from on high. You shall receive power after that you've received the Holy Ghost. That Holy Ghost is going to work with them the same way that he worked with Jesus. He's supposed to work with us that way too. In my name. If you believe in my name. The very first thing he mentions, even, I hate to say this part, even before tongues. Well, why? Why? It's really in there in that sequence for a reason. Light has authority over darkness. Light, Smith Wigglesworth, I had forgotten this till I reread the books recently. For years, he healed the sick before he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. He understood he had authority as a child of light over any darkness out there. The Holy Spirit worked with him. Now, I mean, it got more powerful after he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. But he himself, he had enough knowledge, he had enough understanding to know this. Light has authority over darkness. I've been born again. I have authority over that devil. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Now, here you go. Over in Luke 10, he says, nothing shall by any means harm thee. Remember that? I give you authority over serpents and over scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Here he says it this way. They'll take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Do you think he's talking about snake handling? Some people hearing this might think so because that's what they've been taught. No, let's stay with Scripture. What example do we have is when Paul was putting firewood on the fire and a viper. You know, the devil tried to kill him through this viper. And apparently it's a real deadly viper. Normally if you get bit by that thing, you die. Because all the villagers there that were familiar with that kind of snake, they said, well, surely it bit Paul, and they're going, well, he's going to die. He surely must be some kind of murderer that escaped justice, but God's going to get him. But he just shook that thing off in the fire, and they waited for him to die, and he didn't have any ill effect at all. That's what this means. And if your enemies are out there and they try and, you know, like somebody preaching in a Muslim world, and they're going to poison you. I don't mean to pick just on them. It could be Hindus, Buddhists, anywhere. And they're going to try and get rid of you by poisoning you. No, it will not harm you. Another one I remember was Arthur Blessed years ago. He was preaching in India, carrying that cross like he did. The only water around was the Ganges River. Well, my goodness, you know, the buffalo. How do I say this? It's their restroom. They bathe in it. People bathe in it. They throw anyway, it's not a real clean place. But it's the only water there. And here's Arthur on assignment from God. He's over there carrying the cross and preaching the gospel. It's the only water. Takes his tin cup, dips it down in that water. He said, I looked down in there and it was full of all kinds of little swimmy things. I lifted it to heaven. I said, Jesus, kill them all. Drank that water. Drank it daily for all the time that he had to do it. Never got a parasite. Never got sick. If you drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt you. He's not saying, go get some rattlesnakes and bring them to church and prove your faith. Yeah. You don't find anything like that in Scripture at all. See? If they drink anything, any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And here we come to it. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Doesn't say maybe so. The only qualifier that I see in here is that they believe. And I really think what he means is those that believe the gospel. He expects every child of God, but I want to make it more, everyone spawned from his spiritual loins, this new species. Yes, sir. I'm going to call it the species of light. That's what it is. It's a species of light. That's why Jesus said about himself, he says, I am the light of the world. But he also looked to his disciples. He knew full well at that moment they weren't born again. But he also knew full well after the cross they would be. Did you know he said about them, you are the light of the world? Do you know he's saying about us, we are the light of the world? We are a species of light. And Satan, darkness, has no dominion, no authority over us at all. At all. There is no dark switch. We have authority. I don't care how black the darkness and how long it's been dark, you can bring a candle into a dark room and darkness has no power to resist it. Has no power at all. Can you just see the darkness trying to put out the light? It can't. That's the revelation that we've got to get. We have been delivered. Okay, let's look at it again. Colossians chapter 1 somewhere. Galatians, Ephesians. Colossians. I mean, it's all so good you just want to start in verse 1, but let's start in verse 10. Because he's talking about us walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And that's really what I'm talking about. Was Jesus pleased when those 12 couldn't cast out that devil? Or it wasn't the 12, it was 9. He had 3 of them with him. That's right. There was 9. And they couldn't cast it out. You can tell he's not happy. Oh, faithless and do you think he said, oh, thou faithless and perverse generation. Do you think he said it like that? I think there was anger in his voice. You faithless, perverse generation. How long have I been with you? How long am I going to have to do this for you? You bring that boy here to me. And I mean, in short order, he'd got that devil out of that boy. And of course, they asked the same question that we would all ask. They knew enough to ask him privately. Well, why didn't it happen when we prayed? And they honestly didn't know. He said, well, it's because of your unbelief. What does he say here? Those that believe in my name. In my name they'll cast them out. At that moment they weren't believing. Well, here we go again. Here it says, "What that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing." He loves us. Now he can't love you anymore. But we can sure walk in a way that's more pleasing to him. I loved my youngest daughter no less the day she was arrested by the FBI in Mobile, Alabama, for interstate transportation of stolen firearms. Yeah. I did not love her any less. Do you think I was real pleased with her that day? No, I desired a walk that was more pleasing. Okay, and I got it. She had a life-changing encounter with the Lord. It's like she's been a whole different person all these years. Good mother, good wife, works for the ministry to this day. Hallelujah. Well, all he's saying here, why write this if it's not possible to walk more pleasing? He says, I'm wanting you to walk in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. He already loves you. I loved her. But I didn't want her to walk in such a way that put her in prison or jail. Hallelujah. Well, so he says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful. See, being fruitful. That's what we want in every good work. The fruit we're after right now is when we rebuke the cancer runs off. When we cast out devils, they obey us because they don't have a choice. And it's all got to do with our believing and increasing in the knowledge of God. And that's exactly what we're doing right now. Yes, sir. I will not forget. Yes, sir. He says, yeah, I will. Okay. Hold your place right there. Yeah. Well, he knows me better than I know me. So go back to Luke. Because there's a point here that he wanted me to make, and I smooth did forget it. It's really important that we see something. In verse 9, Luke 10, verse 9, we'll come back here to Colossians. Here's what he wanted me to say. It's important to realize what is not in that verse. What did Jesus tell them to do? Heal the sick. He does not say, start a prayer chain. He does not say, pray to the Father to heal the sick. If you saw that demonstration a while ago where I was standing and Mark was there, he was actually, like in that demonstration, the Lord Jesus standing in front of Mark, he is placing the responsibility on Mark. And Mark has he can't pass the buck. Mark, I'm telling you, heal the sick. I'm telling you to do it. And you're going to come back and give me a report. What? That's the way we've got to start getting this. Quit giving him all these excuses and go, yes, sir. A good soldier, when the general says, charge the hill, right in the face of certain death, a good soldier salutes smartly and charges the hill. Well, he's telling us, go heal the sick that are therein. Yes, sir. Let's go do it. And come back and give the report. And we'll go, did you know? Even the devils are subject to us in your name. He'll go, yeah, I knew that. Don't rejoice. See, and that's not the part to get so happy about. He tells them, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Listen, that's what it's fundamentally, that's what we rejoice in. I mean, I'm glad I have authority over devils. That's not what I owe him everything because my name is written in heaven. Okay? Now, it's okay to get happy about people getting healed. I'm sure, you know, it pleases him. It pleases us. But don't ever forget what's really important. Your name is written in heaven. Well, so what he wanted me to go back, he said I would forget it. He did not say, pray to the Father that he would heal them. He did not say, start a prayer chain. And I'm not against prayer change. Do you understand what I'm coming at? We need to take his instructions more literally than we have in the past. And I mean, he's putting the responsibility Not the ability. You see this? But he's saying, he's expecting us to go do it. I'm trying to say that that's the same attitude when he says, you faithless, you know, like he told, he was upset with them. He expected them to cast that devil out of that lunatic boy, and he was upset when they didn't. When he tells us to go heal the sick, what? Oh, no, I'm too humble for that. Well, there's a false humility that's just as deadly as pride. No, I'm too humble for that. You're too humble to obey the Lord? If he says, go heal the sick, what are we... Do you notice him arguing with him? Heal the sick that are therein. How many of them went, oh, Lord, I'm not worthy. All that trash. When he says, go heal the sick, I mean, just go heal the sick. All right. I think I obeyed him now. Go back to Colossians. Being fruitful in every good work, this is verse 10 again, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, and that just means Abel's, made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, a while ago I said it, the species of light. That's probably going to be the title of tonight's tape, because it came from him. The species of light. That is, if you don't leave here with anything else, you got to get that. You are not a member of the species of Adam anymore. Now, if you're born again, you don't even belong to that species. That species is dead. That's why Jesus told that one guy, let the dead bury the dead. That species is over. When I was baptized, well, he didn't tell him all this, but Jesus knows when he was baptized in the River Jordan, as far as God's concerned, the whole species of Adam, the first one is dead. But you are born again. You are the child of light. The species of light. And in the very next verse is the one. He says, who hath delivered us from the authority. Power is exousia. Authority of darkness. There's no dark switch. The devil has nothing to extinguish that light. He'll try. Mark 4 tells you how he tries. Afflictions, persecutions, the cares of this world. What was the purpose? To choke the word. Because the word is your light. He's trying to choke it. And usually that works. Somewhere along in there, affliction, persecution, the cares of this world. But if that doesn't get you, then eventually he'll switch tactics on you. He'll go around the other way and try and lure you off, you know. Elvis started off singing gospel. Got lured off into the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things. All that adoration, you know. Make a little God out of you. So many of the great singers, the real famous singers, they started off in the choir. The devil says, you know, you can merchandise that. Make some money with it. Deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things. If he can't run you off with the cares, he'll try and buy you off. But the whole idea is still to choke the word. Why? He's trying to put out the light, but he really has no authority over the light. You have to allow the light to go out yourself. Well, we're not going to do that. Say it one more time. Devil, I will not go quietly off into the night. I am a child of light. You have no authority over me at all. Nothing, no power of darkness shall hurt me at all. In His name, I have authority over you. In Jesus' name, I win. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's the truth. Now that's the truth. That's the truth we're coming into. That's the truth we're going to walk in. And by that walk, we're going to please Him even more than we have in the past. Amen? To be continued. Hallelujah. Well, Father, I'm still praying those prayers, the ones that Paul prayed. Father, I'm not going to say them again right now, but I pray that everyone that heard that message is continuing to pray them also, Father, because we can really only receive this in our spirit first. These are not things that are that we walk in by the power of the mind. We walk in them by the power of the Spirit. So, Father, we pray again. Reveal unto us, give unto us everything that Paul said in those prayers in Ephesians and Colossians. And Father, we're going to receive it. We're going to grow up. And we're going to walk in the light of what really is the inheritance you've given us. Bless every person that's hearing this message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.